Hi, this is Lori McKay from the SMB Group, and today I'm talking to Louis Gadima, President of Revenue and Associates, which helps companies generate more revenue through measurable improvements in sales and marketing. So Louis, I've known you for a while, but I know Revenue and Associates is a new company for you. What's prompted you to start it?
So I had a company before for a dozen years, a digital agency that I sold in 2009. We became one of the national leaders in our niche. And then I did business development for two other agencies for several years. And what I saw was a need that wasn't being addressed head on, which is corporate revenue generation. And so a lot of agencies and a lot of people kind of splinter it up and say, you know, we're going to help you with your website, we're going to help you with search, or we're going to help you with advertising or with sales training or whatever it may be, social media. But they're not looking at the whole picture, and those point solutions may not be what a company really needs, and there may be other places where the best revenue opportunities lie for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a problem all of us can relate to. You know, we know there's a lot of solutions out there, but we have to frame up the problem and make sure we're you know, getting the right solution in place for it. So how do you go about solving for that? Because that's pretty complex.
So what I do is I look at across what I call a sales and marketing audit. There's currently over 1,000 companies, for example, providing sales and marketing software, and there's dozens of channels from things like social and search advertising to traditional things like print. And so in a sales and marketing audit, I look across a company's whole sales and marketing process. It's a 100-plus point audit that looks at what technology are they using, what are their strategies, what are their internal operations, what's their governance, their budgets. How are they onboarding people and training people? Do they have the staff? Are there skills gaps? And from that, I identify the best short, mid, and long-term opportunities for the company and then start working with them to drill down.
Okay, and who are your services mainly designed for? Is it small or medium or larger companies? Like what's kind of the right size company for this kind of approach?
You know, it's a company that really wants to grow their revenue. I've seen surveys that 3 out of 4 small business owners don't want to get any bigger.
Right.
So I want to talk to the fourth one.
Yeah.
But I'm especially focused on mid-market companies, companies with, say, you know, 10 to 100 or 200 million in revenue. I've worked with companies like IBM and Philips Healthcare and Abbott Technology and other very, very large companies and done millions of dollars of business with them. But in terms of starting this new company and the particular approach, I'm especially focused on that mid-market.
Okay. And I know you recently published a report called Revenue Opportunities. So what is that about? And what did you find in there?
So what I did was I took a look at 196 mid-market companies in New England that were operating on a national level. And looking from the outside, what could I see about how much they were adopting modern sales and marketing programs? And so this was looking at things like, did they have analytics on the website? Were they doing search advertising? Were they doing search engine optimization? Did they have a mobile-ready site? So 9 different things that could be seen from the outside. And it wasn't that I felt that while those 9 things can be very valuable and generate a lot of revenue when used well, I felt they were also sort of an indicator of the maturity and depth of a company's revenue generation program. And so what I found was that of these, you know, 200 companies that operate nationally, so they all should be really eager to do as much as they can to generate revenue because they're in competitive national or global markets. In fact, the average among those companies was that they were using less than 3 of those 9 important programs, and the median was 2. So it was a very, very low adoption rate.
Why do you think that the adoption rate for these things that are so directly tied to revenue are so low?
I think it's a couple things. So the real outlier at the top end were SaaS and venture-backed companies. And these are newer companies. They're very data-driven, and they're very comfortable with technology. And they're part of a world, especially that venture-backed world, that knows this whole modern and very effective way to really ramp up revenue quickly. But when you get into other industries, when you get into manufacturing or medical devices or engineering or architecture, and I looked across a lot of industries, then the adoption rates plummet a lot. And so I think you there have a situation where a lot of people have a company that's doing okay. They have traditional ways of generating business. They know how those work for them. And there's this massive number of new things flying at them, and they don't know what's real, what's not real, what's important. They don't know where to start.
Right.
They may have even tried one or two things, but, you know, sometimes you can't, you know, if you dip your toe in the water, you know, you can't learn to swim. Sometimes you have to really go in and embrace something to get the results. So for a number of reasons, the adoption of these technologies has been very slow, nationally even, and from studies I've seen.
And these results you're getting, you know, from these companies that are all in New England, do you think they represent the larger mid-market in the U.S. or?
Yeah, actually, if anything, New England may be a little bit ahead of the national average because half of New England market is Massachusetts, and Boston is a big part of that. And there's a lot of these more newer SaaS and venture-backed companies really evangelizing in Boston and Massachusetts. Serious Decisions did a report that came out the same week as my report. They only looked at one of the nine factors, one of the nine programs, which was marketing automation. And they said that 16% of B2B companies nationally are using it. In my sample, it was 28%.
It's low.
So it's really low. And, you know, it's not that I'm saying that these nine programs are the end-all, be-all. As I said, I'm really taking them as kind of a you know, litmus test or a thermometer to say how deep, how well built out are the revenue generation programs. There's lots of other things like, you know, events and email newsletters and predictive analytics and lots of other things that companies can be using, traditional and digital, that may be the most effective for them.
Right.
But these are the ones I could see.
Okay. And, you know, I know in the report it discusses the upside for the companies who do get more sophisticated in terms of how they generate revenue and what programs they put into place. So if you aren't doing some of this stuff right now, where should you go to get started?
Well, I think there's several things. First of all, you need to adopt the mindset and recognize that this is an important area for revenue growth and something you need to invest in. You need to adopt a data-driven mindset and realize that, you know, your gut may not always be right, and sometimes the data will take you someplace new. You need to be willing to experiment and even fail, because these things will not work 100% of the time, and they take, you know, implementation and analyzing and optimization to get it right. You know, you have to invest in people and make sure that they have the skills and that you're adopting the right tools and that you know how to use them. And you have to work, you know, you have to find someone who can probably guide you through it.
Yeah.
Who can, you know, that 1,000-plus programs, those are in dozens of categories. Some of those categories are important to some companies and not others. And so to really kind of, once you've adopted, you know, a commitment to it and to budgeting and training and the people and so forth, you know, then you're going to have to take some time and really figure out what are the right things for you and how to get them to all work together. Yeah, you know, that's where the big payoff is. It's not adopting one or two programs, but, you know, if you adopt a marketing automation program, integrate it with your CRM and, you know, integrate it with your email marketing and other things so that everything starts working together.
Right, right. And Lou, where can they go to learn more about the services that Revenue & Associates provides?
So our website is revenueassociates.biz.
Mm-hmm.
I also have a blog at louisgadima.com.
Okay. Can they get a copy of the report there?
Yeah, you can get a copy of the report at revenueassociates.biz. You can download it there.
Okay.
And there's actually a blog post at louisgadima.com, which is specifically about an SMB action plan, some of the things that for a company that is new to these more modern programs, where are some of the places that you can start?
Okay, that sounds great. Well, thanks again, Louis, for your time today, for joining me on SMB Spotlight. And this really looks like something I think a lot of SMBs will want to look into, because I think even if you don't want to grow your business in terms of people, most businesses want to become more profitable, and I think that all comes into play as well. So thank you again.
Thank you, Lori.
Bye.